Do you remember the Sunday back in February? It was Transfiguration Sunday. And I told you that the most two difficult sermons to preach were Transfiguration and Trinity Sundays. What is today? You guessed it, Trinity Sunday. Today we hear about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as one. I remember in seminary I had to write a paper for my theology class explaining the Trinity. How God and Jesus are connected to each other. How God and Jesus are connected to humanity. How God and Jesus are connected to the Holy Spirit. And finally, how the Holy Spirit is connected to humanity. At the conclusion of my 35-page paper, I closed with the following remark. Quote, "We can argue and discuss the Trinity until we are all lying on a psychiatrist's couch trying to convince him or her that this has nothing to do with our childhood relationship that we had with our parents. The important thing to remember is that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, all in one, loves us unconditionally." End of quote. I got an A+ on the paper. I think he liked the ending of it better than anything else, but now I'm going to explain the Trinity. You and I live in a three-dimensional world. All physical objects have a certain height, width, and depth. Also, one person can look, sound, or even behave like someone else. But a person cannot actually be the same as another person. God, however, lives without the limitations of a three-dimensional universe. For God is spirit. That is why Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can be different from God the Creator and yet be the same. Y'all have a glazed look. It's just, Okay, let me go at it from a different angle by giving you a little church history. In the early Christian church, there was a sect who argued that Christ is God, Christ is divine, and that the Holy Spirit is God as well. This sect is known as the Trinitarian Christians. At the same time, there was another sect who argued that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are of three different beings, best known as separatist Christians. Now, the separatist Christians argue that if Christ is God, and God the Creator is God, along with the Holy Spirit is God, then the Trinitarian Christians were truly polytheists. They believed in multiple gods. But the Trinitarian Christians, they strongly argued that they were not polytheists. They are monotheists, one God. And to add more mess to the mud pack, the Trinitarian Christians claimed that the separatist Christians were denying Christ and the Holy Spirit their divinity of God. As a former chaplain colleague of mine would say, you have one hot mess. Now, how do we begin to solve these two different interpretations of God between the two Christian sects? How do you clear up this hot mess? Well, there was a newly converted Christian Roman emperor by the name of Constantine who called for a conference, a convention, or the term he liked to use, council. And this council was to resolve the differences. We know it as the Nicene Council. In fact, there had to be two meetings. Nicene Council 1, Nicene Council 2. Paid somebody a lot of money to come up with the names. And they came up and resolved the issue. Now, y'all think you're confused now. Just wait. I'm about to blow your mind. Both Nicene councils concluded with the following explanation of God by claiming three things. One, Christ, the Holy Spirit, are begotten from God, not created like you and me. They were already part of God. Two, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit share the same substance, essence. But they don't share the same persona. Three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one, but God is not all three. In other words, Jesus is God, but God is not Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God, but God is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not Jesus. But God, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all in one. But God is not necessarily in all three. Now, after hearing this, by a show of hands, how many of you fully understand the Trinity now? I mean, you clearly understand it to the point where you can restate what I just said and have no qualms about what was said. Show of hands. Welcome to my world. This is what seminarian theologians discuss for 3.5 years. In fact, it never leaves us. I still discuss the Trinitarian theology, and I've been out of seminary for 20 years with a Master's of Divinity degree. This is why pastors long for the time when Trinity Sunday falls on Father's Day. They can preach a loving Father's Day sermon and don't have to go near the Trinity. This is also the reason I concluded my theology paper with the remark about ending on a psychiatrist's couch in therapy. Now that I have fully blown your mind before you've had your second or third cup of coffee, you're asking yourself, what's this all got to do with me? Well, it's quite simple. God the Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all being one, but God not being all, loves you and me unconditionally. The Trinity loves us for who and whose we are. As followers of Christ, we must take this Trinitarian, unconditional, as we are love, and share it with our fellow humanity. Love is the essence of our survival. If we are to survive in this world, we must love our fellow humans, regardless of who they are, or where they are in their stage of life. And I will admit to you, that is the most difficult love to share. For it means that we have to show unconditional love to everyone, regardless of their gender, race, ethnicity, sexual being, sexual identity, or beliefs, just to mention a few. We find it easy to love people who are like us. When we share same beliefs, whether it be religious, political, same enjoyment in life, of the same race, same life experiences, same ethnic background, the list could go on. It becomes easy for us to love and share and show our love to like people. But be confronted with someone whose beliefs are different, or who is of the LGBT community, or of a different race, of different ethnicity, whose life experiences are not the same as ours. And we do whatever it takes to avoid the people who confront our comfortability. Stop and think. Isn't that what the Trinity is asking us to do? Isn't the Trinity asking us to come out of our comfortability, to come out of our comfortable shells, and to love everyone? Isn't that what the Trinity is asking? Or better, isn't that what the Trinity is demanding of us? For what greater love can be shown to you and me from God the Son when He died on an old rugged cross so that you and I can have eternal life? What better gift? What better show of love? The least that we can do is take the Trinity's unconditional eternal love and share it with everyone who inhabits the universe as you and me. On page 360 of the Common Book of Prayer, as many of you know, is the prayer of confession. And the sixth line of that prayer reads, "We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves." When we love ourselves more than our neighbors, we have let the Trinity down. When we only love people of like beliefs, race, lifestyles, we have let the Trinity down. When we turn our backs against people who are hurting, being discriminated, shunned, abused, bullied, we have let the Trinity down. When we love people who do favors for us, we have let the Trinity down. When we add conditions to our love, we have let the Trinity down. As I said in my theology paper, God the Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in one, loves us all unconditionally. As we leave this holy place today and go into our daily activities, our daily lives, may we stop letting the Trinity down. May we take the Trinity's unconditional love, show it and share it to each other and to the world, regardless who we are. Amen.